everyone. Thanks for listening. I am speaking with Eddie Martinez, actor in USA's The Sinner. Today, he plays Vic Soto. Hey, Eddie. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited to talk with you.
Oh, well, I hope we meet all your expectations. I think that we will. I think that season three builds on the foundation of both season one and season two. And from watching the first two episodes, they definitely exceeded my expectations from everything that I read. And I loved all the scripts, though.
Cool. Well, my very first question for you is actually going to be, how did you get started acting? Was this something you always wanted to do?
No, not at all. Not at all. I was going to criminal justice college to go be a lawyer, and then I auditioned for the school play for extra credit for a class, and then the director happened to give me the lead role in the play, and next thing you know, screwed up all my plans, changed school, changed majors.
That's really cool. How did your parents take that?
Like it at all. My mom and my sister, who's much older than me, she's basically like my second mom. They weren't happy about it at all. They were like, that's a hobby. That shouldn't be your job.
That sounds real familiar to me. I was also going to go to law school and decided to not do that.
Oh, look at that. See, we're the law is missing some good lawyers.
100%. Were you able to bring any of that kind of like criminal justice mindedness into your role in The Sinner?
Oh, I was going to say, into my acting career, I was going to say probably, yeah, because in the beginning, all I played was criminals, so I think the criminal justice, well, I was trying to be funny.
I thought that was funny, because I have my next questions about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think so, yeah. I'm a Vic Soto in the show. He's a former Marine, a new rising star detective in the Dorchester Police Department. I happen to also be a former Marine. I think being in the Marines informed of how I prepare just in general for roles. But being from New York, which Vic Soto was from, and, you know, having him be a ex-military guy, you know, it was kind of easy to dig into his backstory.
With that being such an easy fit for you, kind of rolling into it, what kind of preparation differs for, I guess, a good guy, you know, quotation marks, and a bad guy, quotation marks? Because I know you just mentioned that you've played a lot of criminals so far.
Well, the preparation is the same. It's just the research is always different for each part. But I always how I prepared for the quote-unquote bad guys, like you said, is the same way that I prepared for this role, which I always do a lot of research, and I try to build, like, a life as real as possible for this character, like if it was a real person. And then I write it all down detail by detail as much as I can, all the way up to the point where I get to the script.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did for this role. I just set up almost like a fake history or a life for Vic Soto, all the way till he gets to the Dorchester Police Department and meets Detective Ambrose.
That's really cool. Are there any parts of that really kind of, that you're really proud of kind of crafting that life that you think really inform, or that can help inform viewers more as they kind of watch you on the show?
Well, I mean, I think the cool part, which happened definitely in this project, was I usually do that for myself. I don't share everything that I write down with the directors, but in this case, the showrunner, Derek Simon, we were speaking in his office, and I mentioned that, and he wanted to read it, and I gave it to him, and and we were on the same page. You know, we kind of came to agreement of you know, of how we wanted Vic Soto off of the backstory that I wrote.
That's really cool.
So that was good that we were on the same page regarding that, and I was on the same track. And then I guess the second part, and forgive me if I'm not answering the question, but the other thing that I liked was that I always feel like if I prepare, if I do all my job, if I put it out there and just, you know, have those thoughts in my head and having that history in my head, it's easier for me that once I get on set to just let go and just, you know, and whatever's going to happen, happen. Let whatever's going to happen. to happen, happen.
Yeah.
If I did my homework right, if I did all the work, if I feel like if I did all my work right, then it'll show up.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I can't even imagine how it is to jump into the life of a new person, essentially, to act. So it makes sense that having that background would really help in that process. What really drew you to
tell you, I think that it's fun. It's,
yeah?
It's like work, but it's fun. Yeah, it's fun. It's a little bit draining towards the end when you're, like, I guess, constantly thinking someone else's thoughts.
Yeah.
But that someone else is still like a pattern that I have in me, so.
Yeah.
But it's a little, especially not in this role, because I'm playing opposite of what I usually play, a good guy. But when you play bad guys or you know, someone who's always going to dark places, it gets a little bit draining towards the end.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was fun all along.
That's really cool. So, do you have a favorite character that you've played so far? Is Vic Soto that?
No, I think Vic Soto. Vic Soto. I mean, there was a film that I did a couple of years ago where I got to play a vice president of a South American country called... It's a film called Bel Canto with Julianne Moore and Ken Watanabe.
Yeah.
And so that one I was pretty, you know, happy about too, because again, I was playing a vice president.
Yeah.
But I mean, Vic Soto, I was stoked about this. When I got hired, I told Derek, I'm just happy I'm not playing a drug dealer and I get to speak English.
Yeah. I mean, on that too, do you feel like a lot, because I'm Latina myself, like I'm Mexican American, so like I kind of like when I see Latinos in media, automatically, like a lot of the times we're always typecast that way, right? Like, how has that, like, do you feel like that's what's happened to you a little bit, or, you know, can you talk a little bit about, you know, the experience from your side? Because I just get to consume the media. I don't actually have to live making it.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think that, I mean, and definitely people of color, minorities get typecast into a certain type of role, but also everyone, just actors in general, especially in the beginning, you get typecasted because people only think you can do what they've seen you do before.
Yeah.
So you kind of get pigeonholed in these sort of type of roles. For me, yes. So in the beginning, starting out, you just want a job. I just want to work in whatever. So whether I'm staying online or playing a gangbanger or a drug dealer, whatever, I just want the job. After you do that over and over and over, it does get a little like, well, come on, I want to do something else. And as I got older, you know, it became less about me and more about, well, you know, the people that look like me are also, you know, more than just drug dealers and gangbangers, like we're also lawyers and reporters, like you, journalists.
Yeah.
So it's like I want to be part of those stories as well. But I think things are changing. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or because things in the business are changing now. But I have gotten out for different types of roles recently, and the stories like are written more authentic or more. Like even the gangbanger roles that I played in the last few years, that they've been fully complete human beings, you know, like I've been part of good stories, which is what I'm proud of.
That's amazing. Do you have any kind? I mean, it doesn't have to be like a very specific role, but do you have any people that you want to play in the future? Like, is there like an ideal role that you want for yourself? You know, in your future of acting.
I mean, I don't know if there's a specific role, but there's a new project that I would love to be part of, and there's definitely a whole bunch of filmmakers and directors that I would love to work with. But I know through the grapevine, I read somewhere that they're doing. Netflix is doing a TV series on a famous Colombian writer.
Guy
Garcia.
Yes.
So I would love to be part of that story. You
know, I'm
Colombian. I was born in Colombia, and so I always have sort of like a thorn on the side or a chip on my shoulder when always people assume that Colombians everything is about, you know, coke and drugs. And so I want to tell stories about Colombians that has nothing to do with violence or narcotics. So Gael Garcia, he's a famous novelist from Colombia, and if they're telling the story, I would, you know, that's one of the stories that I would love to be a part of.
Yeah, no, I that would be amazing. And for me, I mean, from the reception side, getting to see more of the stories out there that don't just have us as Narcos, right? Like that's kind of like the goal. And so to hear you like or to know that people like you are out there like, pushing to get us in those spaces and stuff like that, and like it would be really cool to see you in that. Honestly. And to see
Oh, well,
cuz
thank you. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think if things are changing, and there are a lot of good writers and filmmakers, not only in front of the camera but behind the camera, that are
Yeah.
working towards that. And I think it's going to be seen. I don't know if you've heard of this show called Vida on Starz.
Yes, I love Vida.
And there's, oh, great, cool. I'll tell my friends there. And there's this new upcoming show on Netflix called Hentify.
Yes, I actually
That's another.
I just reviewed that because I got the previews for it. It's
Oh, nice. You got to see the first two episodes.
yeah.
Part of the web series of Hentai. So they go more kind of.
Oh,
Oh, yeah. Well, the web series were really funny. They were really
that's
great, well-told stories. So yeah, so I'm stoked about that. Now it's on Netflix, or it's going to be on Netflix. And there's a lot of good, buzz around it. So, I
Yeah.
wish them well, and I hope it does well.
And that's actually one of the things that I was really sad about, because I remembered when Hentified got mentioned at when it was at Sundance, and I never got the chance to go and watch the original web series. So when I saw that it got picked up for Netflix, I was like, oh wow. How was your role in that web series, if you don't mind me asking? Move a little bit away from the center.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was cool. I played one of the mariachi guys. There was this sort of episode about this trio of mariachi players
Yeah.
who decide to start singing pop tunes in ranchera versions so they can make more money. So we were singing like what was it? Backstreet Boys. We were singing like a song from the Backstreet Boys, and it was hilarious. I mean, when we were shooting it, I was a little like, ooh, I don't know if this is gonna work or not. But then when I saw it
Yeah.
when they screened the episode, it was hilarious. So
That's so
I was proud of
cool.
that one too. Yeah, it was funny.
That's really, really cool. But I think you're right. I think you're right, Eddie. I think things are changing, and it's really awesome to see things changing. It means a lot, right? Like to see us
Oh,
as
finally,
different
right?
things.
Finally, done, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think
Like
too.
Hollywood is noticing that we are here, that we've been here.
Exactly. And I think seeing and kind of circling around to see you as Vic Soto, as a cop, as opposed to the person on the other end, like I think that's also really powerful too. What really drew you to your role in that series?
Well, I was already a fan of the show from people like you. My wife
Yeah.
and I binge watched season one in one night. I was a fan of the show. And then I just auditioned for it. When I got the audition for it, I was just stoked about it. And then when the offer came in, I was in heaven because I was like, all right, I finally get to be part of a really good project where I don't get to be, where I'm not the drug dealer. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the cast that I was going to end up working with, that was like the cherry on top.
So what are you most excited for viewers to take away from season three and from your character in general?
Well, season three, like I was saying before, kind of builds on that whole foundation of the show, which, I mean, if you've watched the show, so that's kind of like the theme of the show. It departs from the traditional whodunit kind
Yeah.
of, and it delves more into the why. And this season, it just goes along right along with that into kind of like the psychological or philosophical reasons why a seemingly normal person would be driven to commit a crime or be pushed to the edge.
Yeah.
So that's what this storyline kind of is about this guy who's questioning his morality and is going through some dark places, which pulls also Detective Ambrose to that place. And just the ride, like reading the episodes, the episode that I'm most excited about watching is the last one, the eighth
Yeah.
episode, because when everything ties up, I was surprised when I saw it, and I thought it was when I read it, and I was really excited about it.
Yeah.
And so now it's just like just just like how I was excited watching the first two episodes, I can't wait to see the last episode. I think it ties everything up pretty good. And what can people expect from Vic Soto is that it's not the Vic Soto story. Everything is about Detective Ambrose and Jesse Burns, which is the character that Matt Bomer plays. But Vic Soto is kind of like, I think, complements Detective Ambrose, Bill Pullman's character, very well. He's someone who, he's a former Marine who's been to Afghanistan in two tours, so he's someone that has been through hell and back, someone who's, you know, who's been to the edge and has seen some stuff. So he's kind of like the person, the steady voice for the Dorchester Police Department. He's kind of the guy that has his life put together, you know, and is able to assist Detective Ambrose in a small but yet very important, intricate way.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, what's next after this? What projects do you have in the pipeline that you can talk about?
There's two that are in the pipeline that I can't talk about. One, because I'm superstitious and I don't like saying it until the ink. Knock on wood. The other one, they made me sign an NDA, so I can't talk about that one. And there is a movie that I filmed last year that I think is starting to get its distribution and it's starting to make the rounds. It's called Unconformity. They just renamed it to Unconformity. I don't know what festivals or where it's going to go, but that is the next thing where I could be seen. Unless you watch Amazon Prime, there's a few films in Amazon Prime that I'm there. And there are a few things in the pipeline for early spring that I'm going to be working on.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for, you know, taking time out of your day to come and talk with me. If people want to follow you, you know, keep up with what you're doing, where can they find you on the internet?
Yes, on Instagram, Eddie Martinez 11, the number 11.